What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018, soon to be 2019. We're already into December. I'm your host, Kyle French. Today is December 6th, and it's that time of the year when the last minute AOTY contenders drop and make me rethink everything I thought I knew about this year in music. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at Oxnard by Anderson .Paak and the new Griselda Records release, Tana Talk 3 by Benny the Butcher. We'll see what's popping in the culture, do a little headline hunting. We stay with the fresh new singles with another installment of our Hot in the Streets Song of the Week segment. And finally, we'll be rounding things out, running through the hip-hop's newest batch of albums to hit the market in our new music announcements segment. For more content, you can always go and follow me on Instagram at hiphopenth, H-I-P-H-O-P-E-N-T-H. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe on iTunes or on the Apple Podcast app. Make sure you do so because we got some big episodes coming up that you're not going to want to miss, like our 2018 wrap-up special. We're going to recap everything going on. I also got some bigger plans moving into 2019. Hopefully get a few more people on the show and a few more perspectives flying around. So stay ready for that. Subscribe, download. A podcast for music enthusiasts by an enthusiast himself. And with that being said, let's get into our first album review of the day. This is Oxnard by Anderson .Paak. .Paak is a 32-year-old singer from, you guessed it, Oxnard, California, which sits just west of LA. This is his third release, following other California city-based albums Venice in 2014 and Malibu in 2016. .Paak is famous for his funky West Coast twist on the R&B and soul genre. He really isn't a hip-hop artist, but there's enough crossover for him to fall under that umbrella, especially with this new album, his most hip-hop-leaning project to date. He grew up singing and playing drums in his church, which definitely shows in his work. Heavy use of background vocals, spiritual references, choir-like moments, and occasional breaks into these spoken word-like passages. He even is backed by a full band on a lot of his tracks and is a member of this group called the Free Nationals. It's not quite the Roots, where the group is intrinsic to every track and every song he makes, but they're definitely there. They have an influence, and he collaborates with them very often. And Oxnard is .Paak's latest attempt at giving us a mental vacation to a California city of his choosing. He has an innate ability to transport you right into the everyday life of a community and make you feel the natural influences of the scenery. And 2016's Malibu captured this perfectly, an album I cannot speak highly enough about, as we just basked in the beauty of the fun-loving surfing town that Malibu is. And Oxnard takes a slightly harder tone with a little less breeziness and a few more somber tracks lyrically, but it's definitely still geared toward getting an aesthetic across more than anything else. And this album, if you've heard .Paak before, it sounds like classic Anderson, but it's like he got a light adrenaline kick from Dre bringing some of his explosive drum kits to the table, and a bit of a gangster rap mentality, a little bit more ego-based lyrics on here. And obviously that all makes sense since Dr. Dre did executive produce this project. He signed a young Anderson .Paak when no one else was really giving him a shot. Crazy for him to go from unsigned, no one wants to get him, to, you know, being brought into the game by one of the most legendary icons in the history of hip-hop. So it's a very, you know, celebratory story. Very cool for .Paak to come up that way. And when .Paak gets going on here, the grooves are irresistible. Tints is still getting me out of my seat on the first note every single time. I played that as our Hot in the Streets Song of the Week probably over a month ago when it came out, and I still love it. Still one of the most enjoyable tracks for me to listen to on this album. The funk rhythms and fat, juicy bass lines are so bright and bouncy. And then go and throw Anderson's beautifully smooth voice that sounds like he sings every word with the biggest grin on his face over these instrumentals. It's hard not to smile, it's hard not to feel warm inside when he's just getting on the mic and letting it rip. Tracks like Anywhere with a surprisingly fresh-sounding Snoop, I was like taken aback by his singing. I don't know how he does it, but whenever he gets on a track with a West Coast sound pioneer of this generation, it raises his game to a whole nother level. Just look at what he did on To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar, maybe the greatest rap album of this decade. And he shows up here again, and then on Cheers we get this rejuvenating verse of reflection from Q-Tip. And all of these pieces are incorporated while echoing the sentiments of a track like Tints, which I feel like really sets the tone for what Oxnard is going to sound like. And the production really helps out and bolsters the impact of tracks. It makes Brothers Keeper even more triumphant and celebratory than Pusha T and Pac's gripping lyrics. The density and layers to these just gorgeous instrumentals could exist on their own and be a formidable piece of music without vocals on top of them. So, I mean, at its peak, Oxnard provides fantastic textures and accomplishes its goal of recreating your atmosphere to match the Southern California coastal city of Oxnard, which just so happens to be his hometown. I mentioned that earlier. He's done Venice, he's done Malibu, but his third album is Oxnard. This is him coming home. And that's where tracks like Mansa Musa come into play, which actually draws a lot of comparisons, I think, to the track King Kunta from Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, where they've gone out, they've made their success, they've found their riches, and now they've kind of come back home and self-pronounced themselves the king on these tracks. So that was just another interesting parallel I picked up between this album and some of Kendrick Lamar's work. But I do have to say, you know, that atmosphere and that aesthetic I spoke to, it's there, and the meat and the potatoes of this album is phenomenal, but it doesn't quite hold this vibe from like start to finish. One example of this would be the track Six Summers, which kind of just gets bogged down in politics, and Pac is clearly trying to pen in like anti-Trump, anti-establishment track. And this leads to the emphasis coming off the natural, free-flowing, organic energy that the album kind of revolves around. And it feels like he sat down and wrote this one. You know, where a lot of these tracks, it seems like you're walking through this beautiful South Central city just experiencing everyday life. This one, it feels like he got his pen and pad out and wrote it. And that works for a lot of guys, but I just don't feel like that's his aesthetic here. And while I like this track, and I like tracks like Who Are You, they just feel studio built and kind of exist outside the realm of what Oxnard wants to be. And another reason I think this album, as far as from what I've seen, isn't getting super high praise is because it does struggle from a weak open and somewhat of an underwhelming finish. And while I would still crown the middle and the highs of this album to be prime Anderson .Paak, these loose ends don't help leaving listeners a good first impression or last impression. And I think that's very important if you want to leave a big impact with your album. Just the second track in, the song Head Low, which really is the first major track, The Chase, which serves as the intro, is just more of a scene-setting opener. And Head Low is probably his worst song I've ever heard, as it's simply just about getting head from women in his car and getting jerked at the movies and just meaningless, superficial, like, sexual advances. It was just a really strange way to start off the album. A terrible skit to end where he's like stuck in traffic and he's telling people to drive around him because he crashed because his girl was giving him dome. It's like, what is going on here? I was really put off by that open. And then the end, you finish with this track Left to Right, which it's fun loving, but it's also like pretty cheesy and flimsy. I think if he could have ended the album on like a high note and more of a profound, emphatic song, like maybe Savior's Road, this would have really stuck with people a lot more and they'd be talking about it in a different fashion. But as a whole, whether he's singing about the nostalgia of his city or the joys of love, Pac gives you firsthand accounts of his life with wonderful artistic ability. The best tracks on this album for me would be Tints, Cheers, Brothers Keeper, Trippy, and Savior's Road. Worst tracks gotta be Head Low, Left to Right, and I'd throw Mansa Musa in there. I would recommend this album if you like Nate Dogg, Miguel, or Kendrick Lamar. And overall rating, I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. So let's go ahead and get into it. I'll give you guys a taste of Oxnard right here. These two tracks are Anywhere and Sevier's Road by Anderson .Paak.
Blunts, gators, hand me my mink. On the east, ducking fans from a peephole. 1989, gang banging was at its peak. This the beat that make me reminisce on G-Phone. 3 summers before the chronic hit the streets. I would rather sling hand to hand to a fiend. Rapping on the side, trapping was priority. But every now and then, I go scoop my little thing. Pull up in my MC, like a new jack swing.
Who
cool summertime time back in Long Beach. Passing one bottle 40 ounce holy. I didn't have a dollar, but a nigga had a dream. Whipping over the stove and a nigga gotta eat. Threw my raps in the garbage, fuck being an MC. Thank the Lord for Nate Dogg and thank God for Warren G. Funny how time flies when you're high as me.
I think I'm in the rough ends now. I seen her going up edge down. You was living off a true hill. Wasn't ready for the world, but baby, who is? Know you prettier than all the elder bodges. Never worry about the total of the charges.
In the Marriott with little cuz, send them off to Arizona, let them build the bus, then get it back for triple the profit, help them split it up. 10 years, been a minute, I was somewhere between giving up and doing the sentence. Got a few existing, help my mama get acquitted. If they plotting, then help me see it before they get the drop on me. Probably could have been the doctor on final optometry. Vision was like Martin Luther on the mountain peak. Valley lows, I left home for more salary. Smuggled O's across border patrol casually. Took notes and took control of it manually. And the hand till it's sands in the canopy. Now follow me. I'm too old to act childishly, but every now and then I pop the beamer in the gallery. Show off the paint for spectators in the faculty. Same old niggas that said they proud of me. Same old niggas that probably doubted me. Who gon' work it
out? There I go, falling to my knees right now.
Trying to get it back on my feet right now. Chopping up the weight I don't need. Maybe I can sell it to a fiend right now. Hey, what you mean?
That was Anywhere and Xavier's Road by Anderson .Paak from Oxnard. Very solid album. The best tracks on that album are some of my favorite tracks of the year, hands down. He just didn't quite keep it all together and refine as much as he did on a prior album like Malibu, which I would be head over heels for cover to cover. But still, very much worthy of a listen. And that's all I have to say on that. So let's get into our second album review of the day. And this is for Tana Talk 3 by Benny. A much more underground presence. A lot of you guys probably heard of Anderson .Paak. Maybe not Benny the Butcher, but Griselda Records is taking over Westside Gunn and Conway, our brothers. Benny is their cousin. The collective is from Buffalo, New York, and has been fathered into the game by names like Raekwon, Ghostface Killa, Jadakiss, and they signed to Eminem's Shady Records just last year. They built a music label and a niche lane in hip-hop from the ground up. After realizing the crime-filled life they grew up knowing on the streets of Buffalo wasn't the best way to make it in this world, those days are over, but will live forever in their music, which is dominated by mafioso themes and gangster rap lyrics. They've revived hardcore New York hip-hop. I loved Westside Gunn's Supreme Blind Tell from earlier in this year. Talked about it on the podcast. Gave it a very favorable score. If you haven't heard that episode or the album itself, I highly recommend you listen to both. And Benny, of the group, of the three, is personally my favorite. His features were some of the best verses I've heard this year on West Side Gunn's album. So I was really looking forward to Tana Talk 3. And Tana is short for Montana Avenue, which is the street Benny is from back in Buffalo. This album is just a prime example, a perfect showcase of an artist knowing what they do best and absolutely killing it in that narrow lane. The brutal coldness and hardened tone surrounding the whole album is so illustrious and forces you to enter the madness and chaos of trapping, getting it how you live, living paranoid day to day, week to week, just bag to bag. I just can't express enough the realness and authenticity that Benny brings to the table. In-house producer Derringer produced 10 of these tracks, with the esteemed Streetwise producer The Alchemist producing the other four. An absolutely perfect match as they lay the grimiest, dirtiest instrumentals all over Tana Talk 3. They pull out these eerie, elongated loops that create just a distinct emptiness that mirrors Benny's emotionless demeanor as he appears just desolate and beyond saving from his habits. These beats would perfectly back a horror movie villain at his most devious. The tracks are really that cold and to a degree frighteningly real. And Benny is certainly a one-dimensional rapper. There's no covering that up. And if you don't like drug lord coke rap, you can just skip over this one because it's not for you. If you're one of those people who is passing on Daytona by Pusha T because he pretty much just talked about moving weight and you got bored of it, then that's what this album is going to be again to a degree. So just know that going in. I mean, the topics revolve exclusively around moving weight, engaging in criminal activity, and counting fat stacks. The stories and descriptive details are so graphic and stimulating. You can just close your eyes and envision Benny sitting in the trap with this illegal paraphernalia straight about and his goons just on edge at any moment they got a strike. And as he says word for word on Scarface vs. Sosa Part 2, everything relate back to drug dealing. Every song, every theme, it pretty much comes back full circle to selling white. But honestly, I never got bored of it even for a second. 52 minutes and I was only experiencing further stank face as the album progressed. The penetrating punchlines and raw natural delivery. I mean, Benny's just a force of nature on these beats. Occasionally, there were instrumentals I would feel were a half step too slow for him and would almost force him to take a more reserved tone and pace than he otherwise would have liked to. Good Night is an example of that. And even the intro to an extent, you can almost feel the awkwardness in his call tag. Before he dives into his verse, he always goes, "Let's go," and then just rips up the track. But it's hard to, you know, embrace that and really try to go in and explode on a track when they're just seeping out at like a very slowed down pace. I mean, these aren't even like medium cadence flows they can utilize on these beats. And that's not to say that they're bad beats by any means. It just calls for a different delivery style and one that I think restricts Benny just slightly. And actually, with these tracks coming earlier, it almost builds up the album. Because probably my least favorite tracks are the first two. And then it just progressively gets better and better as you get more entrenched in his just ghetto mentality and cinematic, just movie scene-esque storytelling abilities. I mean, he's no poet. He's not delivering his stories like maybe a Kendrick Lamar or a J. Cole would. But I mean, he gives you those type of details that you don't just make up. Like, that man was there. He's talking about how the brick smells. Like, you don't make that shit up. Like, he was there. He does this. Like, it's authenticity to its core. It's so real. And he's riding for what, you know, early 90s, mid-90s New York hip-hop defined itself as. That was really the moment in time where hip-hop, like, hit the scene. You had guys like Wu-Tang, Nas, Jay-Z, Biggie. Those were, like, the big names in New York at the time. You got your Mobb Deeps. The Lox came through a little bit later. I mean, Kool G Rap, all these guys. This was the tone that they set. And, you know, I'm all for hip-hop evolving. But it's always good to hear, you know, guys like Benny and the Griselda Records squad able to resurrect those sounds and not sound old. I mean, these guys sound modern. They sound like they have their own lane. And it's just really impressive to me. They're one of the most consistent groups out there. I love every record and mixtape they put out. I think Conway even may be trying to get his album out by the end of 2018. So we'll see if they can go 3 for 3. But they're 2 for 2 with flying colors so far. Tana Talk 3. made the most of Benny's talent, told his story, established his presence, both in Griselda, who he's probably the lowest clout member of the group, but also in the rap game. I don't think a lot of people know about him, and this is a huge statement. I mean, you know, I'm recommending this to people, and when they hear it, I guarantee they're going to be gripped by him and want to hear more. So my best tracks on here would be Broken Bottles, Rubber Bands and Weight, 97 Hove, Joe Pesky 38, and Scarface vs. Sosa Part 2. My least favorite tracks would be Goodnight and Echo Long. I would recommend this album if you like Sean Price, Pusha T, or Freddie Gibbs. And I'm giving this album, Tana Talk 3, an 8.5 out of 10. I mean, this is cover to cover. It's getting better with every listen. Really enjoy it. And I hope you guys do too, for those who haven't heard of it or haven't even heard of the Griselda crew yet. This is a great introduction. So I'm going to roll out right here two of my favorite tracks off this joint. This is Rubber Bands and Weight and Joe Pesky 38 by Benny the Butcher.
Yo, Al, I got you. Hey, yo, the Butcher coming, nigga. Look, I got 10 niggas with me, all body catchers. That's 10 straps and Air Max 97s. You know why we legends?
No.
Ask the street shit, they watch me stretch it. I put the microwave on 90 seconds. The day my brother died like 9/11. I missed him, he smoked a big one when he took that backseat ride to heaven. She see my watch, but I don't got a second. This wrist got us extras. It's in the pot doing calisthenics. They talk tough talk, but they don't want no issues. All they talk is gunplay, but they don't own no pistols. Sat down at a meeting, Montego on the menu. Red laser on the nickel, turn a hater to a Hindu. If you're used to being broke, then this paper gonna offend you. Man. Niggas either dick ride, or they pay for their credentials. I was young, the plug told me, just be patient, I'ma hit you. Shit slow, work with me, just take what I could give you. I took that, double back, it got greater, I continue. Cause my loyalty is good as any favor I could lend you. You can hate, but I'm official, I don't break. Cause I ain't brittle, that's real G shit. If you a gangster, I commend you. Ah. Cocaine jumping out the pot, rubber bands and weight. Dope fiends walking up the block, rubber bands and weight. 6 a.m., but I ain't closing shop, my other plans could wait. It's 10 a nigga, yeah, you know my block, did 20 grand a day. Cocaine jumping out the pot, rubber bands and weight. Dope fiends walking up the block, rubber bands and weight. 6 a.m., but I ain't closing shop, my other plans could wait. It's 10 a nigga, yeah, you know my block, did 20 grand a day. For the hustlers that's getting money, thinking fast and business, who stayed up by playing smart and ducking bad decisions. I wore hand-me-downs to class, bitches laughed at niggas. Now I'm rock designer like I'm in the fashion business. I met a plug when I was broke, not to brag I did it. I broke a nine off a half and got in traffic with it. This for my day one fans, niggas that been listening, who know these rappers not better or as consistent. And when they talk about the streets, it ain't that specific, so I'm a tad suspicious if it's fact or fiction. You ain't in the streets weighing slabs of fishes, nigga. You just another rapper trying to hide an image, but don't want the scabs and stitches. Shit, that come with it. And if you ask me, this backwards, nigga. I seen too many real niggas fall to let you bitch niggas beat me. But still, I make this shit look easy. Bitches think I'm lit cause they see me. But I was just in a trap with a flip phone stick and a TV. Calls from home saying, why you going through the roof? There's rumors back here saying, well, who going through the who? Been gone for 2 weeks, been two more funerals. They pulled up dumping out of the two-door Subaru. It's all the same, this what we call a game. When you move and put you back like a ball and chain. We rap about our real life cause it caused us pain. And when you reach certain levels, it causes change. The pain subside, but the scars remain. I'm one of the realest nigga that's broad as day. I'm on my biggie who shot ya. This for my partner still in lockup, who only called back home to tell us in a box up. They killed Eric Garner just cause his posture. But you get life if you hit a cop up. How could we feel like that's not us? I scan plexion the same, nigga, please don't be obnoxious. I play with more keys than a locksmith. It's like I'm good at everything, I got this. Joe Pesci 38, got a roach clip burning in the ashtray. Burning in the ashtray. You know I'm spending good money, so he love me. Said he down to meet me halfway. Down to meet me halfway. Joe Pesci 38. My Joe Pesci 38. Joe Pesci 38.
So you just heard Rubber Bands and Weight and Joe Pesci 38 from Benny the Butcher. Get on this Griselda wave now. Check them all out. Westside Gunn, Conway, Benny, of course. They're going to be blowing up. They're going to be taking off. I don't know how they're getting this little buzz while being signed to Eminem and Shady Records, which is a huge label, big name in the industry. Hopefully he puts them on more and more, and more casual hip-hop fans get into these guys because they are just simply that good. But let's keep it moving. We're going to see what's popping in the music industry, in the culture, see what's going down. Yes, I know Offset and Cardi B are having issues, and it looks like they're getting divorced after being together for like a year. Not really a surprise, and I don't really care to talk about it. It's more of a drama than an actual hip-hop-related activity. That's more like love and hip-hop. I don't need to be covering that. So let's get into some real stuff right here. First headline I'm looking at right here, Wu-Tang Clan announces first shows of 2019. This is more of just a PSA, because if you haven't seen these guys live, I personally haven't. I don't know when I'm going to see them, but I gotta find a way to check out Wu-Tang live. They actually just did an NPR Tiny Desk concert, which is just awesome. You wouldn't really expect this kind of a group to get on and do an NPR activity like that, but they killed it because they're amazing at everything. But the two dates they booked for 2019 are Friday, January 25th, Franklin Music Hall in Philadelphia, and Saturday, January 26th in Terminal 5 in New York City. If you are anywhere near either of those concerts and are even remotely a Wu-Tang Clan fan, just a PSA, I'm just floating it out there. Just think about it. Maybe get the tickets. Maybe invite your boy Nth down to come check out the concert. Next headline I'm looking at, Gucci Mane believes drugs would have killed him. And this is about a Beats One radio interview that he did recently, talking about prescription drug abuse, talking about how it gets glorified in music and how he was addicted to it, but actually getting locked up, he got clean behind bars, and he thinks that it saved his life. And the emo rap, depression, I do drugs, I'm sad, it's really become a wave. And, you know, I'm kind of uncomfortable with the line that it's towing, because I don't think these guys, a lot of them are that, like, deeply rooted in these problems. I think they're clout chasing through these methods. And it just sucks because you look at guys like Lil Peep and Mac Miller, who were clearly troubled, and their issues pushed them to basically accidental suicide due to drug use. And it's just sad. So Gucci was talking about it, and this was his quote on the matter. Drug use is never going to go nowhere. It's going to always be like that. Drugs going to always be a part of society. It's going to always be people fighting. It's going to always be death. It's just, you know, just what it is. It's always going to be a part of music. Think about all these rock and roll stars before these hip-hop stars. And I like that last line a lot, because I feel like hip-hop gets an unfair amount of criticism for its artists being bad people and, you know, maybe going to jail, or XXX having, you know, domestic abuse allegations, which isn't new for guys, and doing drugs. And it's really a music and entertainment problem. Like, Hollywood wasn't corrupted by hip-hop. You know, it's always been a problem in entertainment and music. And so I like that Gucci brings that up to kind of defend, you know, rap and hip-hop a little bit from the criticism. But more importantly, you know, it's kind of sad. He's saying it's always going to be a part of society. It's always going to be death. Like, that sucks. Like, I wish we could do something about it. And I think the best thing that we can do is be like Gucci and voice your opinions on it and say, listen, me not doing drugs probably saved my life. Hopefully that will inspire somebody, some of these young rappers, even just some kids who think drinking lean is cool or whatever. Hopefully it helps them and saves lives. So shout out to Gucci for that. Next headline, a little bit more lighthearted. Allen Iverson names his top 5 rappers. I saw AI and knew I had to read this article. The man is a legend and always got some funny shit to say. So this was his top 5. This kind of came up after he was praising Meek Mill and his new album Championships, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. But his top 5, excluding himself, because he included himself and then named 5 others. Such a cocky but also hilarious move. He named Biggie, Tupac, Andre 3000, Redman, and Jay-Z. A very respectable list. AI's got some good taste out here. I can't lie. He's got some of the, you know, kind of cliche classics, Biggie, Pac, but Andre 3000, Redman. I think Jay-Z's low-key become underrated. He's in my top 5 easy. Great list. You know, I guess AI is an established fellow hip-hop enthusiast. Maybe he's even listened to the show. Alan, if you're there, your handles have been an inspiration to us all. But what you did to Tyronn Lue was wrong. That was disrespectful. You are a bad, bad man, Alan. Nah, but for real, AI GOAT. So let's get to the next one we got. What if Meek Mill drops an album better than Championships before 2018 ends? This came up because he was doing some fan interaction on Twitter. You know, he's saying, hashtag ask Meek, I'll answer your questions. Got back to a bunch of fans. But one thing that was asked was, you think you can hit us with another Real Me mixtape? The street's been waiting. Hashtag ask Meek. And he responded, how about I just drop another album before the year over? Now, this is the first I've heard of this, and a lot of guys kind of front like this, and it would be like in the next 3 weeks he'd have to get this off. And he's riding high on Championships. I don't know why he'd kind of, you know, rain on his own parade and ruin this celebration that's come off from this album dropping. But hey, if he thinks he honestly has something better and he can capitalize on it, go for it. I'm never opposed to Meek Mill music. And speaking of new music that just dropped and people trying to follow it up quickly, I'm looking at this right here. Long lost namesakes JID and NoID cooking up an album. And JID says that DiCaprio 2 was more of like him just getting songs off, more of a mixtape-esque feel. And he says his more concept-based album that he had been hinting at and sharing some snippets of is actually the album he's cooking up with NoID, and hopefully he'll be dropping that in early 2019. So I can't wait to hear that. And then final headline I saw this week that caught my eye is Drake owns Apple Music's Best of 2018 Artist of the Year category. And, I mean, this list of accolades proves why you need to be following at MetaBritic with a B on Instagram to get the real breakdown of albums and not this mainstream pop-influenced version of hip-hop awards. I mean, Drake's got like 4 songs in like the top 5. The song of the year went to Cardi B's I Like It, which is honestly amongst one of the worst songs I've heard this year. She just like ripped off the, you know, Latin music wave that's been getting big. It sounds nothing like a Cardi B song. It's just got that Latin flavor, and she put J Balvin on it, and I guess that makes it the best song ever. I don't know. And then they threw 2018 Breakout Artist of the Year to Juice WRLD for his contributions and debut album Goodbye and Good Riddance, which I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is one of the sappiest, most superficial, surface-level, fake deep, I'm sad, I do drugs, feel bad for me, let's all be depressed together albums that I've ever heard. The man just sings some melodies about feeling melancholy, and all of a sudden he's a goat when he didn't talk about nothing. But, you know, this is what hip-hop awards have come to. So like I said, at MetaBritic on Instagram, we'll be dropping very similar categories in our 2018 wrap-up voting polls. We're going to have Album of the Year up there, EP of the Year, Rookie of the Year, you know, different subgenre categories, Best Trap Album, Best Lyrical Album. So definitely make sure you're up to date with that if you want the real enthusiast's take on hip-hop music in 2018. So that's what we got for what's popping in the culture. Now we got to get into our Hot in the Streets Song of the Week. And that goes to a man who has been, I got to admit it, wildly inconsistent. My boy Chance the Rapper, he's put out some phenomenal projects, in my opinion, with Acid Rap and Coloring Book, and even 10 Day, I think, is a great tape. But this year, he's been very hit and miss with his singles, but this one hit, and this track is The Man Who Has Everything by Chance the Rapper. It's almost got this like baby Kanye beat with the chopped soul vocals and really lively drums. It's kind of a watered-down version of what their collab might sound like if they ever actually get together and get Chance's own 7-song album. And Chance takes it at a slow pace that never really changes, and the verse structures are super repetitive, but the lyrics are profound. And as we've moved into the Christmas season, he's kind of contemplating what a man like himself with the world in his hands would ask for. And no, he just wishes for things like seeing old friends again and pictures so that he can remind his kids where they came from, and even shifts the focus more towards the world. He asks for, you know, Chicago parks to get new swings. He asked for Santa to visit the doors of the kids who never get presents and their doorbell never rings and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't really want to call it a seasonal track. It was to a degree, but this is probably, you know, my second favorite single from Chance this year after a couple like big swings and misses that I was not feeling. But this one, I am about it, and it is our Hot in the Streets song of the week. And here it is, The Man Who Has Everything by Chance the Rapper.
What to get the man who has everything? Trying to fit myself into a schedule and a wedding ring. Trying to eat everything. I was raised to come across my plate, then I better swing. Trying to turn Confederate flags into confetti strings. Trying to back up my baby mama like Kevin Federline. Heard they got some nice ass houses out there in Beverly. Never leave where I came from. I just need me some stockings in the chimney they can hang from. Photos so my kids can find out where they got their names from. Christmas cards so gorgeous, other families wanna frame one. Real talk, I need a front yard, a backyard, a side yard, a side yard and sidebar, a dry bar, 9 cars in a garage, and it's on hella acres. I'm tired of people visiting, taking the elevator. Well, we'll keep the elevator.
Love me forever, that's all I ask of you. Love me forever, that's all I ask of you.
Don't gifts get rewrapped, that shit could get sticky like tree sap. I gave you free raps, that shit sound like free facts, which is about as common as free blacks. Stuck like freeze tag for one of these random police stops. Look like the treetops soon as the breeze stops. And once the debris drops, the streets 400 degrees hot. Please, man, we need some freeze pops. What in the world for the man who has everything? Man, West Chatham Park could use some better swings. Used to be disheveled, I went and shoveled everything. Tell Santa to show up the doors, he never ring. He never ring.
Love me forever, that's all I ask of you.
That's all I ask.
Love me forever, that's all I ask of you.
That baby is a genius. Don't teach him about Santa till you teach him about Jesus. Don't take him out the snow to try to take him on beaches. I swear it's enough leisure in this world to get lost. What's the point of gaining chicken if you lose all the sauce? What's the point of gaining chicken if it can't get across? Lost the cold hard cash, they said damn that boy soft. Same niggas lost they soul in a fucking coin toss. I guess I cleaned up. Santa don't miss no names, but I miss Fatima. It's been a minute since I seen her. Them the type of things I hate to bring up, just like the prenup. That shit be see-through like John Cena, Awkwafina. But like the Christmas tape, it's things that I gotta get clear. Like my papa asks the same question every year. What to get for my boy who has everything? I said I'll take anything but everything, you know.
So that's your Hot in the Streets song of the week right there, The Man Who Has Everything by Chance the Rapper. And I don't know if he's got more music coming soon. It's hints at like Chance 4 coming out. So we'll keep an eye on that. But for now, we're going to jump into our new music announcements. Things we know are coming out or have come out recently. We had a weird like midweek period of drops on November 26th, which was actually like a Monday or a Tuesday. Stuff usually is coming out on Fridays. But on November 26th, we got DiCaprio 2 by JID and Streams of Thought Volume 2 by Black Thought. And Dummy Boy by 6ix9ine ended up leaking and forcing its way onto streaming platforms. The former two, though, the JID Project and Black Thought, will be the albums we're talking about on the next episode of the Hip Hop Enthusiast, so stay tuned for that. Subscribe. And then at the end of that week, November 30th, we got Some Rap Songs by Earl Sweatshirt, which is just like almost the perfect album for where Earl's at in incredible growth of artistry. It's going to be high up on my album of the year list. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. We also have gotten Championships by Meek Mill, Stokely by Ski Mask, The Slump God, Street Gossip by Lil Baby, Timeless by V-Don and Darklow, and Bread EP by The Alchemist. And then if we peek forward to tomorrow, December 7th, we are getting the first posthumous album from XXXTentacion titled Skins. We're also getting Everything's Corrupt by Ice Cube, who hasn't dropped since 2010 now. We're getting Evil Genius by Gucci Mane. He limited his releases to only one this year. Pretty surprising, so hopefully it's good. We're also getting Ollie by Locksmith and Between Somewhere by Token. So that's a quick wrap on what just dropped, what's coming out next. If some of those names spiked your interest, go ahead, download them, Johns. Give them a listen. Some great music coming out in December. It's going to real muddy up my list that I already had going with my top albums. But I'm not mad about it. Anytime you give me great hip-hop music and great records, I'm all about it. I'm game. But that's all we got on the show today. This has been the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. Thank you so much for joining, listening, downloading. I appreciate you guys, and I'm going to try to keep bringing better content as we keep moving forward. And like I said, I got some bigger plans for 2019, and I'm hoping to take this to the next level, so stick with me. And I'll see you guys again next week for another EP. Peace.